Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
The swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, God. Letting go.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, 31st of January 2018. And if it's not, when you're listening to this, you're listening to a rebroadcast and should not be trying to call in. However, since it is, you can always call in and talk to us at 865-333-5937. And I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have Wombat on the phone. Let's see if I can get a good audio check on Wombat. Hold on. Okay, try it, Wombat.
Wombat!
There he is. Present and accounted for. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold still. I've been out for 2 weeks with this darn thing. I'm back. I still have some congestion and a little cough, so if I cough in the middle of the show, I apologize. And
well, I'm just glad you're feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I am, definitely. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, God, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're not, that you are the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee, well, you're just
not.
There are several atheists and free-thinking rationalist groups that exist here, right here in Knoxville, and I'll be telling you how you can connect with them later on after the mid-show break. And did you know that we also have an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Has been for over 7 years. Did you know that, Wombat?
Oh, yeah, I knew all about it. Let me tell you, I was a little disappointed. I thought the first movie was pretty good.
Movie?
It's probably my best one ever.
What movie?
I think what they could do with Legos was amazing.
The entire series was great.
Batman Lego movie ever. I gotta say, I'm not impressed.
One of these days you'll find it online or on Community Access TV and actually watch the show. It's called Free Thought Forum. It's on every Tuesday. Matter of fact, it's going on right now. It's on every Wednesday. It used to be on every Tuesday. But I actually watched a little bit of it on the way into the station. So if you want to tune over to channel, I think it's Comcast Channel 12, you can see them right now and check them out. But I'm hoping you won't, because I'm hoping you'll stay with us. Also, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. Okay, what's tonight's topic there, Wombat?
So I want to say with a little brag, I am the best cat dad on the planet. No one can be a better cat dad.
I have to agree. I've seen your videos of training your cat.
So I have a cat. His name is Vinny. He's about 1 year old. He is a cat, but I've always wanted to have a dog. But because I have a work schedule that's not good for dogs, because I'd have to leave him home for many hours during the day,
right.
I decided to get a cat and raise him to be a dog. And my cat doesn't mind, so neither do I.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So my cat, you know, when I come home, he's wagging his tail. He's panting and he's like shaking his little butt. I come in, I say, sit, he sits, I put up my hand, he shakes it, then I put on the leash, and then we go out for a walk around the neighborhood, and he's leaning, and he'll go side by side, he'll sniff some trees, and then he comes all the way back in, then we can roll over, and then he'll lose more trees for you, now on command, and then when I'm done, he's back to being a cat again. He just picks some place to lie down, and that's it.
he can high five too, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he can high five. He can spin around. He can do all sorts of things. Yeah. I'm going to teach him how to go through hoops pretty soon.
Oh,
but I was thinking, what was kind of cool was, what does it take to be a good pet owner? And the reason why I bring that up is because I have a lot of power over this cat. Like, as a human being, I decide when he eats, I decide how much he eats, what he eats. I can clean his litter box, or I can forget it for cleaning his litter box.
Yeah.
I decide where his water is going to be placed. I decide, you know, the temperature of the home. There's a lot of things that I do that my cat absolutely can't control, and he has to depend on me in order to get, you know, a lot of stuff done.
Uh-huh.
Also, if he misbehaves, if he scratches me, or if he, you know, starts acting a little too rambunctious around the house, I can choose to mitigate that behavior as I see fit. I put myself in a position where it's kind of similar to, it's no way in comparison to the amount of power that a god would have over a human being.
Right.
But it still seems weird.
There is a parallel.
Even though there is that parallel, but it's so much greater from a god to a human being, so much greater. Yet the standard of quality that I'm willing to give my cat, as so close together we are as just human and cat, seems to be so much greater than the standard of quality that alleged gods have given to their followers.
Yeah,
you know, and that's something that I thought about and I wanted to talk about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, am I a better pet owner than God is a human owner? If you really want to think about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have to go by the evidence in the Bible, I would say certainly you are. You have never ever given your cat a plague, have you?
Well, no, I can't say I gave him a plague, but I do give him belly rubs when he doesn't want them sometimes.
Yeah, really?
Just because it looks cute.
Yeah, well, you haven't smited him. You haven't thrown stones at him.
No, I've never thrown stones at him, but I have pretended to give him a treat in my hand and made him walk across the room, and then there was no treat in my hand. So I'll be like, I gotcha. And then I'll give him a little pet on the head. And that's basically
Well, a pet is a treat. When you pet a pet
oh,
like that,
oh, there you go.
It is a treat. A reward.
So there are some really cool things that, you know, God does to human beings that if I did anything comparable or, you know, anything diluted to the millionth extent, I'd be put in jail for, like, you know, animal abuse charges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, killing, just like killing firstborn sons, drowning babies during the flood. You know, I can tell you stories that people have been fined just leaving their pets inside a car door with the windows rolled up, or even without the air conditioning on, just because, you know, we have laws in Kentucky saying that you can't leave your pet inside a car and unattended. And not only do we have laws like that, but it's also totally legal and actually in the law books now in our state of Kentucky that if you see a pet in another car that doesn't belong to you, you have every legal obligation on your part to break those windows and free the animal if you see that pet unattended.
Yeah.
You won't be penalized for it whatsoever. And some other states adopt that same rule too. Yet, you know, think about a God who's willing to take a being and put him in like a lake of fire or hell for an eternity. In comparison, it just seems a little kind of crazy that you can't keep a pet locked up. Because we as humans know that's wrong. You can't keep a pet locked up inside a car in a hot car because we know that's wrong. Yet we're totally on board, at least a certain majority of us, with locking up a human being, soul or being or whatever you want to call it, in a entirely desperate situation with heat and fire and gnashing of teeth for all of eternity.
Right.
No problem there.
Yeah, no end in sight, ever.
Right. It seems unfair. And it also seems that a God that has that kind of standard for taking care of the people he claims that he claims that he loves and claims benevolence over should have a higher standard of doing it, whether the human beings behave properly or not, based on that being's or that God's, you know, criteria. Like, you have a duty to take care of the things that you bring into the world, or not necessarily bring into the world, but have claimed that you have authority over,
yeah,
you have some
and responsibility
sort of,
for,
you know, mm-hmm. responsibility for to not just, you know, maim
neglect
them,
if anything else. Yeah.
Right.
And we've even formalized these harmful actions into law, because how many things do insurance company call acts of God? I mean, flooding, wind damage, lightning strikes, you know, any of those things, we lay at the feet of God, formally, in law.
It's true. This is all true. So, I'm thinking, right now, you have, there are a lot of people out there that have pets. And, you know, we feed our pets, and we give our pets water. We make sure that we, you know, keep our pets, you know, well-fed and well hydrated, because it's incredibly important to do that for really small animals.
Uh-huh.
But how many people right now are like starving? How many people right
sure.
now are dying of hunger?
How many Christians?
Or in a position where they may not
yeah.
know where their next
yeah.
meal is going to come
right.
for.
Right.
We have to understand that, like, if we're living in a world with a God that's, you know, taking care of us, loving us, and to put on this planet, yet it seems to be an incredible imbalance with regard to, you know, here's a being that could have made any world possible. Yet he chose the world, make the world such that it is that a lot of people go starving every day. And sometimes the people that do have the food, who have maybe like a refrigerator full of food, or like, you know, more food than they'll ever, you know, be able to consume, or with a bank account that has like more than enough to keep
mm-hmm.
them satisfied.
Yeah.
All of these people put together, compared to all the people who, you know, don't know where their next meal is going to come,
right.
or starving, may even have a family they can't take care of.
Yeah.
That's the world that was made. That's the world that we live in. That
right.
was the world that our
right.
God chose
and,
to make.
And there's even
and
a precedent.
Inherently unfair.
There's even a precedent for in the Bible of God taking care of his people by giving them food and water, you know, the manna from heaven. I mean, why isn't he doing that now with the people who are starving all over the earth? Because
right.
he never did it in the first place. It's just a story.
Well, I'll say this, even if we don't know why that happened, I can say that, you know, a world where a God chooses not to feed the people that he made and let them go hungry is very, very startlingly close, or at least appears to be consistent also with a world where there's no God.
Right.
And if that, and I'm not, and like I said, as an atheist position, our atheist position isn't so much that we know there's no God or that we hate God. Like, this is not a radio show where we talk about how much we hate God.
No.
We don't think, we're not convinced that God exists.
Yeah. You can't hate Santa
also,
Claus, you know, that type of thing.
Right,
if you don't
right,
believe
right.
that he's real, you don't hate him.
But that also doesn't mean that we, right, but we also aren't putting forth that we believe that, to like absolute certainty that there is no God. We're just saying that, you know, here we have a scenario where there's a being that claims to love beings, yet also lets them starve and go hungry.
Uh-huh.
And there can also be a scenario where there's no God whatsoever, and people go starve and go hungry. They both seem compatible with our observations with regard to the similar result that we're getting. Either you have a God that doesn't really care that much, or isn't that powerful enough to take care of,
right.
of people anyway,
mm-hmm.
or there's no God either way. And all these scenarios, none of the scenarios point to a completely benevolent God that actually loves his people.
Right.
So
no matter what the claims
when
are.
People, right. So when people put forth that, you know, God is benevolent, God is caring, God does love us, it seems pretty bizarre because we don't seem to see that in the reality that we all seem to share.
Right.
So what could we make from that other than a conclusion that this God may not be worth worshiping if it does exist, or that there may not be any God at all? And even if that God did exist, what a terrible pet owner.
Because
right. I could take care of my cat way better than he could take care of any of us.
Yeah, or it seems to, certainly, with the evidence
speaking
that we see around us.
Speaking of which, my cat is, like, smelling stuff underneath my stove. Oh, he's totally fine. He's totally fine. I keep good tabs on him. Now, have you had a pet before, Father Five?
Me? All my life.
Yeah.
I've got cats and dogs. Matter of fact, right now we have in the house, there are three dogs and a cat. But early in my life I had dogs, and later in my life I had cats, and now I got both. But we try
okay.
to take care of them. We watch it. We you know, we care for them every day. There are certain things we have to do to make sure that they live full and happy lives. And we don't shirk our duties.
True. Your pets don't understand your thinking process there's no way that they could ever comprehend, you know, like you doing your taxes or like some complicated strategy that you have to try to discipline them.
Yeah.
Like, to an extent, if they do something bad, you can't, like, you know, write up a report and like hand it to them and expect them to read it and understand. Like,
as much as we would like to.
Oh man, yeah. I hear a lot of times that, you know, when God sends us a message or tells us that we're doing something wrong, he's doing it in mysterious ways, or at least in ways that are like beyond our comprehension as human beings.
Yeah, all of which we could chalk up to misinterpretation.
Right. Have you ever had to put yourself in a situation where you needed to inform your pet that a certain kind of behavior was inappropriate? And was there any way that you could curb that behavior?
Yeah, well,
from a human to another animal?
Well, we have our ways. We have ways of communicating with them. We can raise our voice. We can stare at them. They don't like that. Just do little things like that they realize that you disapprove of their action. But it's important. It's very important to catch them at the exact time of the action and not do it later.
Oh man, that's a fantastic point that you just made. So you just said that it's important to catch them right at that moment.
Yeah.
Why is it important at that moment?
Well, because later, even a few seconds later, they'll be doing something else, and when you yell at them, they'll think it's that thing, or could interpret it being a different thing altogether.
Right. So it's really important for, like, when something bad happens or if they do something that you don't like, say they commit a sin, for example, like a sin in your household, is it better to, you know, keep a long list of the sins that they perform, and then at the end of their lifespan or, like, however you want, whatever analogy you want to use, just tell them, hey, here's a long list of all the things that you did that I didn't like.
Right.
And this is
like
why...
The book of names, you mean? The book of judgment?
Punishment.
Yeah, like a book of judgment.
Or not. Sure, the book of judgment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you could say, hey, I saw that you wet the bed. I saw that you ripped up my favorite, you know, part of the couch. Mm-hmm. I saw that you tore up my newspaper. But I got good news for you. I just did a bloodletting ceremony in the bathroom, you know? And all you have to do is bark and give your dog soul to the blood that I let.
Treats. Give you back treats.
Forgiven.
You have to give back treats.
You have to give back treats. You have to give back treats. Even though it's a pretty complicated system for how sins are forgiven as far as, like, how we can interpret it even as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as people can say, well, you know, God's a mysterious thing, God could have this mysterious way, it doesn't necessarily have to be. Like, we're human beings, we can communicate with each other, we have means of talking, we have systems that would work when we try to talk to an animal. We're willing to, you know, reduce the complexity of how we communicate so that we can communicate on the animal's terms on the moments that are most effective.
Yeah. Well, there's a real big difference here. When you communicate something to your animal, to your pet, that they're doing wrong, this is a remedial action. This is something to try to get them to remedy what they're doing and do it better in the future. Hell is not remedial. It's just simply pain for pain's sake, and it never ends.
Yeah, it also brings up the question of, like, is it more of like a form of justice?
It's not. I mean, it would be something if God actually showed up every once in a while and slapped our nose when we did something wrong, but he never shows up. And the holy books that the believers point to, there are 10,000 different holy books throughout the world. Which one are we supposed to believe? Which God are we supposed to believe is real? I mean, you have to look at this from an atheist point of view. We don't believe in any gods. But then you come to us and push a Bible in our face, and you got to believe this God. Well, okay, well, maybe the Hindu gods are what I need to believe in. Maybe it's the Buddhist gods, or Buddhists believe anyway, if they don't have gods.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point, because you have, for example, if someone stole something but then got arrested immediately afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could say, hey, that's a sign of God course correcting, you know? But then it's a question of, you know, which god should we give that credit to?
Right.
The Christian god?
Mm-hmm.
Krishna?
Right.
Vishnu? Shiva?
Mm-hmm.
Zenu?
And that's the same thing
which god was responsible for that?
Right, and that's also the very same argument I have for people who point to the creation of the universe. Or, you know, the creation of life, or the creation of species. You know, okay, a god did it. Let's say a god did it. Now, you know, fill in the blank between how that god is your god, the one that you tout in your Bible, and your sect,
right,
and your religion. You know, that you cannot draw the lines, and they never bother. They just claim it.
So I only brought up that point because a lot of people would say that, you know, when something bad happens to you, when you do something bad, that is, in fact, God coming down and telling you, slapping you on the nose, letting you know, hey, don't do that. But he's doing it in his own mysterious godlike way. Or like the
after
force
you
balancing
die.
Itself. No, like even when you live. Like,
well, Buddhists would say it's karma, right?
Yes.
But that doesn't involve
it,
God. It's just, you know, even in that situation, it's the universe correcting you, not an intelligent being. And Taoism is the same way.
But I've heard both karma and I heard karma used in a Christianity sense, mm-hmm, as God has a plan. You know, you've
mm-hmm
heard that before.
Yeah.
Where, you know, something happens that's bad, but people will tell you to wait because God has a plan.
Yeah.
And then something good will eventually happen to you. And then maybe something does. And then you could say, oh, that was God's plan. This bad thing happened to me then, but now things are a lot better. So that must have been God's plan. Like, I might have lost a lot of money. Like, my house might have been broken into, but I got approved for a new home, and that's God's plan. Or I got shot yesterday.
Well, yeah.
But rehab's going great, and I don't have to pay
for
it.
Or I got in a car accident, and three people died, but I escaped. God is great. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It comes in a lot of different ways. And
mm-hmm,
I'll say, for each of those examples, again, you have this weird phenomenon that occurs. How did you know it was your God? How did you
mm-hmm
know it was that specific
right
God that happened to it?
Yeah.
And then you
got
to really ask yourself, in what way was that plan in any way, beneficial to society, or like better at curbing your behavior? Like, is something out of your control happened?
Right.
If something out of your control happened,
mm-hmm,
and, like, say you got caught in a snowstorm, but you survived it, like, did that moment teach you anything about, like, how to, like,
survive
avoid snowstorms?
Or live a better life?
Yeah, basically. If God's plan, for example, of teaching you to avoid or survive through a snowstorm is to put you in a snowstorm, why couldn't he just let you know that, like, ahead of time without actually, you know, putting your life or other people's lives in danger,
right,
you know, or holding you up from work, or holding back society.
What's funny
like
is that
changing the entire texture of the world and not sending you an email.
When something in the Bible lines up with the belief system, like if they don't believe that homosexuals have rights or should have rights, and something in the Bible says that, you know, like homosexuals should be killed, well, they'll point to it. There's no mysterious plan there. It's right there in black and white. But then when they want something that's not supported by the Bible, oh, God is mysterious, but still, he wants it. He wants this.
Mm.
He's just not showing you right. You need a way in you that you can understand it. It's,
right.
It's just, they got to have it both ways.
It's a convenient double standard.
Yeah.
We see that a lot.
Uh-huh.
I've also seen some things where, like even at work today, there was a conversation that I forced myself not to get involved in, but it was, one of our managers was talking to another one of our managers about how, you know, they always go to church, and church is like the best thing. And I'm just sitting there just eating my food because, you know, I forgot to bring breakfast that day, and I'm just eating lunch as best as I possibly can because I was waiting all day for lunch, and I just didn't want to have to deal with it. I didn't have the energy to, like, try to speak up about it, anything like that. Plus, we all kind of know this one guy likes to talk about church, so it's not like a big deal. But he asked one of my other managers, like, hey, do you go to church? Do you? And the insistence behind it wasn't just a question of what do you do on Sunday, you know, like
right
every time.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of like, are you a moral person? Do you have scruples? Do you stay out of trouble? Are you a benefit to society? Like, through the way how he asked that question was just so loaded with so much innuendo behind it.
Uh-huh.
And kudos to my other manager because he basically said, you know, I don't really need church. For the most part, I've assembled my own perspective on religion with everyone else's points of view. And I would say I'd love to continue that conversation because, or at least with that guy, because I applaud him for not, like, you know, kowtowing to, like, the standard, you know, Christianic point of view or the, under the pressure they was in.
Right.
To admit that, you know, his point of view is a little bit more progressive than, say, you know, a traditional conservative religious perspective. But still, there's a lot of weight that comes behind a religious context. Yet, a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, we're already better people than most of our religions, you know, try to provide
right.
us to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
as
mean, that's
just by how we take care of our pets.
It's demonstrable, too. I mean, if you look at the Bible and you see things in there that you support and some things in there that you don't support, like if you don't believe in following the commandment to stone women who are not virgins on their wedding night,
right?
Kill homosexuals, you are using a separate morality than the Bible to judge the Bible. That right there shows you your morality is not based on the Bible. If it was, then you would go along with everything it said. It would be your moral guide, including all the bad parts.
Right. And I also think that even if we were to use the Bible as a guide for how to take care of our pets, you know, our furry friends, basically, we'd have a lot of scary stories, horror stories, and many more trips to the vet than we probably imagined. Because I can't imagine how terrible it would be if I raised my own cat, you know, my cat Vinny, with the standards that I would have found in the Holy Bible.
Right.
It would be a horror show, to be perfectly honest with you.
It wouldn't last long.
I'd have to find a lot of lamb's blood, for one.
It wouldn't last long, and you'd probably end up in jail.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. They'd put me in the news and be like, some crazy guy, you know, he tried to exorcise a demon
from his cat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. But he's like, no, I made it up. I tried to kill some other person as a contract to make up for the rules that I made for my cat.
Yeah.
But it's all good
because
that guy's my bro, so we're all totally fine. Yeah, it would be like it would be literally something that a madman would have had to write.
Right, right. Well, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. Probably need to make a station identification. Anything before we go to the break?
Sure. I'll just say this. I do love my cat, and I know a lot of viewers do too, or love their pets too. I think that's what's most important. So don't do what the Bible tells you. Just love your animals the way how you know how to love them.
Right.
You're already doing a better job than what that book can tell you.
Empathy and compassion. It'll take you as far as you need to go. And this is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville. You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in a little bit. The song we have picked out for the break is Balthrop, Alabama, God Loves My Country. So here we go.
God loves my country more than he. tree, I will hang you from his cross. He delivers me to victory. He's handing you the lot. And the nails in your arms, they are tearing through your flesh. And his son is beating down on you as you're bleeding to death.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. And this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And let's talk about some of the atheist groups that you can join right here in Knox Patch. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 15th year now, actually going on 16. ASK now has nearly 900 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheists.org. Or you can go directly to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheists there. It's just that simple. If you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to a meetup and search for other atheists in your town. If you don't have a meetup, start one. Also, you can join ASK, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, in person at our weekly meetups, which happen every Tuesday evening at West Hills Flats and Taps on Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee, and they've been around even longer, for more like 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if it's too much to remember, just go to rationalists.org and click on Upcoming Events. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a couple of years ago and is spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. However, they only meet once a month, and that's on the fourth Sunday. And then there's the Secular Student Alliance, if you're a student, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. And finally, we talked a little earlier, just touched on the Atheist Call-In TV show here in Knoxville. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. You can even watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. That's communitytvknox.org. You can also find archive of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or the radio show, just come to any Ask or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host and or guest. If you'd like to call in and join our conversation tonight, we still have a half an hour in the show, pretty much. The number here is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. And Wombat, are you there? I'm not getting anything, Wombat. There you go. Can you try it now?
I'm the Wombat!
There he is.
I'm
hey.
Here. What's up?
Well, welcome back.
I'm going to get a sore throat.
You're up. You wanted to continue the conversation that we started before the break?
Yeah, the topic of the show is talking about having power over something, yet still being a good caretaker.
Uh-huh.
And one of the examples that I brought up was being a pet owner, because I definitely have power over my cat. I mean, there's things I can do and dictate in my cat's life that my cat can't reciprocate. And as a result, I have power over my cat, yet I'm a really responsible owner, and I think a lot of pet owners are. I think most of us are, and I think it's kind of a crazy thing to be such a good pet owner and only have a limited amount of power over my animal compared to a god, which has, let's say, a near infinite billion.
Yeah.
That's a big number. Uh-huh. Power over human beings. Yet there are a lot of human beings who are in some sorry shapes and some terrible circumstances, and it doesn't seem like that god cares at all.
Right.
I seem to be a better caretaker than this being who claims to be a benevolent god is over a lot of human beings, who, especially those that are suffering.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, God's always in a win-win situation with those people, too, because, you know, let's say that you've got an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or something who's in serious problems in the hospital, and they're just praying and praying and praying. Now, if he lives, God is great, and if he dies, well, God needed another angel, and God has a plan, and God is great.
Yes.
So there's no
losing. So you get that a lot.
Yeah.
So we're talking about how that was really unfortunate from like the perspective of others who are caught in a hopeless situation. Just try to find some sort of grip with reality, you know? Like if you got to find some way to justify in your head why something terrible happens and abuse and appeal to a god in order to make that make sense, I can understand the urge to do that. But it does lead to further consequences when you fall into a set of dogma that tells you how to live your life in other circumstances and things that you can and can't enjoy and people that you should and shouldn't like based on first appearances. It can be a really, really slippery slope with regard to how to treat reality and how to interact with other people.
Uh-huh.
But there are other examples that I like to bring up. Just this day, just 2 days, let me tell you, I'm coming home from work and I'm going pretty fast. I don't tell you how fast yet.
Oh.
But I'm going fast. I'm definitely speeding. I get pulled over by a cop in Kentucky. And let me tell you something. That is not the first time that's happened.
Uh-oh. Slow down there.
A couple times already.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. All the cops here are great. They're really, really great. They're professional.
Mm-hmm.
They respect you. They ask questions. And as long as you are, you know, cool, cordial, polite, and honest, you know, with what you did, it's like the police owner was like, hey, you know you're going XYZ in a 55-mile area. What, do you have a reason for that? And the right answer every single time is, nope, and I'm sorry. I don't have a good reason for it, and I apologize. And I mean that, and I mean it. And I'll give them my license. I'll give them my registration.
Uh-huh.
I have no prior issues with the cops. I've never been arrested. I have no...
Yeah.
Nothing. I have a clean record. I've been a Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm.
I have my insurance. My car has proper tags. They pull my name through and they come back to the car and they're just like, there's your warning. And then they might ask some other questions like, so what the hell are you driving in this thing? This is so crazy that you can pick it up. I'm like, oh yeah, man, we could have a conversation then. But it's always a good time. Well, it's nerve-wracking, but it's never a situation where I feel like I'm going to have like a legitimate, you know, power abuse sort of situation.
Right.
Like, I know how to behave respectfully. They treat me back respectfully. And mm-hmm. we always have a good professional interaction, and we can both go on with our day.
Yeah.
This is despite the fact that they have a gun, which I don't. They have the legal obligation to protect themselves. They have the ability to drag me out of my vehicle, put me in the back of theirs, and take me into a cage,
uh-huh.
and, you know, lock me up until a court can tell me that I can go back home and continue with my life.
Uh-huh.
They can give me a ticket, you know, which would affect how I get into my job, because I work, you know, at a federal place. This is like it's a big deal. I can't just go in there with a traffic violation like that.
Right.
Like, there's so much things this guy could do, but to just have the concern of, you know, is this guy okay? This is what your problem was. Mm-hmm. This is what you did. Do you understand that? Yes,
yeah.
I understand.
He needs
I
a
won't
reminder.
Do that anymore.
He needs a reminder. Go
right.
slow.
Right. Yeah. Just a little reminder. Say, hey, listen, this is what you need to do to make me not have to stop you in the future and cause more problems. I see you've been trying to do good. Keep it up, but don't drive fast anymore. And I say, okay, thank you very much, sir, and I really apologize. And mm-hmm. let me just be truthful to you. I really appreciate you letting me know and letting me off with a warning. No problem. And
right.
we just move on.
Yeah.
That is a great interaction,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that this guy had way more power over me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not infinite power.
Not infinite power. Let's go into a circumstance where you do have an incomprehensible amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy who, you know, steals something, maybe. If he doesn't apologize or plead to Jesus Christ to save his soul, like, that is a lifetime eternity, or eternity, really, of eternal damnation in hell, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm not the judge. Let's say it's something way less.
Well, I've heard preachers say that all sins are equal. I mean, it doesn't matter if you steal a paper clip from work or you kill somebody. I mean, all sins are equal in the eyes of the Lord. And how many times have I heard that?
We're born sinners.
Right.
It doesn't matter what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have the sin in our hearts.
Just
and
there
we
are no exceptions is the point that they're making. You can't get out of having to come to my church or any church and tithing and putting your butt in the pew. And you have no excuse, in other words. What it boils
we're
down
born,
to. Yeah.
I've heard we're born dead,
mm-hmm.
and it's not only until we're saved through, you know, Jesus Christ that we, you know, mm-hmm. first have life
right.
or something like that. But they'll say they're born again. You'll hear that phrase a lot.
Uh-huh.
That means, you know, they're coming into a new life with Jesus Christ. Not God's life has died, and this is their renewed birth.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it would be a hell of a lot easier. Well, I who am I to judge that? I would say perhaps it would be more effective. I would say, I'll even take a further step back. It would be interesting if reality works such that when you do something bad, maybe you just get pulled over a little bit by God.
Get a talking to.
Listen, I see you were cheating on that exam.
Mm.
Listen, I know you want to, we want to live in a world where people know how to do things very well. And if you cheat to get here, we're going to end up with a world where people, you know,
don't know their jobs,
good at cheating, and not at the work that they're supposed to do, and that could lead to a lot of problems, safety wise,
mm-hmm.
leadership wise, skill wise. So listen, you need a study. I'm letting you off with a warning. I see you've been doing good. I'm looking at your track record. Everything's good,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, don't do that anymore. And I hope you have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other questions for me? No, God. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the warning. Not a problem. See you later. Like, how amazing would that be?
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
That would literally be the best thing ever. That would be, oh my gosh, here's absolute proof one that God exists, and he cares about it,
right.
and he's awesome.
And that would be the end of atheism.
It would be the end of atheism.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he would literally destroy every atheist on the planet.
Uh-huh.
No more like, hey, I did something bad, and then I saw some bushes ruffling in the wind. Therefore, that means God's angry with me. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would be like just concrete evidence that God exists,
mm-hmm.
and he actually cares about our affairs, and he's willing to have an interaction with us.
Might even give us
bizarre.
Allow us to get a selfie with him when he does it. Yesterday I got pulled over, but it's okay. I got a selfie with God.
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many mega churches I've seen. I've seen so many,
mm-hmm.
but if there was a God who was, like, pulling you over and having interactions with you in that manner, I would be totally fine if there were huge churches just sucking up property taxes in an entire community. I would say, oh, well, you know, of course that building needs to be there. Because, you know, God is literally, you know, they're communing with God. And God has a means of communicating with us, and he cares about what we do. Like, mm-hmm. That totally makes
sense. He interacts with us. He's vested in us. Just like we are with our pets.
And if there was a lot of money going to the church, like if it was a situation where like God pulls you over and he's just like, listen, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just letting you know that there's a fundraiser for heaven going on right now. We need XYZ money. We're just using, it's not so much that I need the money. It's just that we want to help this certain community reach this goal or like fill this chocolate limit or whatever. It's like, yeah, sure, God, here's a couple of dollars. Thanks for making the universe. Not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You just—it's not—it's not like this is something that's up for debate anymore. I'll give you $5 if you ask me for $5. You made the universe in black matter.
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. I'd give you more if I had it.
Yep. But the thing about it is, even now, even today, the money, you know, ostensibly isn't going to God. It's just going to spread his word or the preacher's version of his word. And every corner has a different version of it. That the money is spent for. It's just such a waste, such a suck on society.
So you kind of ask yourself, what could that money be used for if it wasn't being used to, like, build another attachment to, you know, a foyer?
Yeah.
There's a, well, I was seeing, like, some of the biggest mega churches in the documentary. I won't name names or anything like that, but there's, like, this crazy huge one that has, like, an escalator that leads up to another escalator that leads up to another escalator so that people can sit in, like, the most nosebleeding of nosebleed seats.
Yeah.
Like a Super Bowl arena, basically, of just basically watching one guy give sermons and then do some healing and stuff like that. I can't imagine how much money was put into that area, but if that money was taken out and, for example, just put into one school, just all that money put into, like, one single school where you have, like, well-funded teachers, books, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, an AP program. I feel like that would pay forward more as far as that community is concerned in the long run.
Yeah.
Much more so than having, like, a place to go to and drive to every Sunday.
Yeah, I am not convinced that the money is going back into the flock. You know, a lot of times you say we're collecting money to, you know, support the church and the people in the church, but the money never seems to go back to the people in the church other than the hierarchy.
Right.
I mean, go to your preacher some Sunday and tell him that you've got a problem paying your mortgage and see what he says.
Right.
Not going to happen.
They'll say, well, I'll pray for you. I got the checks in the mail.
Right.
God's taken care of.
Right.
By the way, give me 10% of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and if you didn't have to give him 10%, probably your mortgage would be okay.
And there again, you have a situation where, you know, a pastor, by their own definition, if there was a God, would have authority, but would seemingly have more authority than a person because they're a middleman to God's will.
Well, at least they say they are, yeah.
Truth, absolutely truth. Yeah, they are funneling the word of God from the source to the masses,
mm-hmm.
and that puts that there is a power imbalance there, regardless of what they say.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was equal, everyone can sit up there on that pew. But if you put yourself in a situation where you're on a platform higher than other people talking
mm-hmm.
to them,
mm-hmm.
there's a power imbalance.
Right.
It's only fine if you use it positively, but what's the situation when you're using it to basically convince other people to give you money with regard to, in return for potentially lies. Because not every pastor can be telling the truth.
Yeah.
Not every religious leader can be telling the truth.
Yeah, and I always like to tell people when they say that I need to think about giving my life to Jesus. You know, are you really giving your life to Jesus? Or are you giving your life to the preacher for his use? You know?
Right.
Because that's what it looks like to me. You know, because Jesus never seems to show up at your church.
And let me tell you something. If I get pulled over by the cops, or if I have a firefighter at my door, or if I have, you know, if I put myself in a position where, like, I'm under the knife of a surgeon, you know, I'm confronted by a person who has power over me, but also has my best interests at heart. And it seems that they behave in a way that benefits me and them at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, there's an equal benefit there
But it's also
that has an equal.
Yeah, it's also in a framework of laws, you know, to make sure that to ensure that there's a good outcome wherever possible, you know, outside of an act of God per se. But when you give your money to the preacher and your efforts and your sweat of your brow to the preacher, there are no laws what he can ask you to do versus, you know, what you offer to do. You may end up spending all of your spare time at the church and giving him all, you know, 10% of your income and have no guarantee whatsoever that it's doing you any good at all.
I also feel like it's not an equality, or there's no equality with regard to how much information or what the person's doing. How much information one person's divulging versus how much information the other guy's divulging. You're always speaking to the pastor. You're revealing things to the pastor. You're asking help.
Oh, especially in the case of confession.
Right. It's never being like reciprocated as if it was two human beings talking to each other.
Uh-huh.
For example, when I'm being pulled over, it's, "Hello, sir. Hello, sir. How are you doing today, sir? How are you doing today, sir? Do you know you're going this way, sir? No, sir, I apologize. I didn't know. Okay, well, let me give you your permission. Here's your information, sir. Here's back your information, sir. Thank you very much, sir. You're off for a warning, sir. Not a problem, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much." Like, there's a reciprocity there that you don't get with a pastor where it's like, "I'm here to confess my sins. Well, let me tell you what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go over there and pray. Give me 40 Bloody Marys and 6 Hail Marys or whatever."
Whatever. I'll take 41 Bloody Marys.
But yeah, it doesn't seem to be on an equal basis. Like, the pastor is designed to appear as close to a untouchable godlike figure as a human being can.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, you can't show humanity. And it's just this one contorted kind of a relationship where you're applying stuff to one person, but you're not getting anything back. Whereas with my pet, you know, I give my cat a pet. I'll rub him down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll come and just like knead up against me. He'll knead my lap or like rub my sides. Like, there's a back and forth there, even with animals and human beings, that you don't get with a pastor, and way even less than a God.
Yeah.
I think we haven't even talked about that. What do you get back from God at all?
Right. Well, of course, the believer would say you get everything in the universe back, but yeah, that's just a claim. It's just a claim. And in the meantime, you're taking your very real hard-earned money from you and your family. Did I ever tell you that the last time that I actually went to church, the preacher, well, it was a new preacher. I hadn't met him before. It was a relative's church, and I had to use karate on him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What is this story?
Oh, it was one of those guys who would, you know, shake your hand, but he wouldn't let it go. I mean, right there, he was showing you he had power over you, knowing that if you tried to say anything or move away or force it, then it's all on you. And, you know, he's not doing anything. He's just shaking your hand, but he won't let it go. But I've got a black belt in karate, and there's a move to get rid of, you know, a situation like that. You pull your hand up and back in a certain way, and it breaks the grip. But he had such a hard grip on me that his thumbnail dug a channel through the palm of my hand. But I got loose, and I never went back to that church. You know, it's just, I mean, power plays. That's what it is. It's power plays.
It is that. Because if it's not that, he's going to try to be, you know, the father you never had. Or if it's not that, his job is to find some way to get you back to the church and to see him as something that he's not, which is a powerful being that knows all the answers that you should come to as a source of reliable information on how the universe works. But and he'll do that any subconscious way, any straightforward way. He'll you know, come in there with a better dress suit or a better nice car. Sometimes they'll humble themselves up, but their goal is to make you believe that they're something they're not at the end of the day, when really we're all just people. And some of us don't have answers. And if they did, they're definitely not making a good case for them.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, all you have to do is look at the history and see the priest class going back thousands of years and elevated over the common people and being able to tell the common people what they need to do. They even collude with the royalty. In other words, kings, how do kings get crowned? the clergy puts the crown on their head, you know, and blesses them. Without the church, the king wouldn't have power. So it goes back as far as you can see. And they're still doing it, and people aren't questioning it, and it just drives me crazy. But what do? I'm just an atheist. I don't know anything.
All we can do is live, brother.
That's right. That's all we can do.
And I think it's fun because things are changing. Things are getting a lot better. We're having a situation where, you know, if you say you're an atheist or if you say you go against the common cloth, that's liable offense for punishment, capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can point to you and say, this guy is not attending church. And so in certain countries, you can point to a person and say that person doesn't attend church, and that person comes on a very short list of people who might die that day. We don't have that here in this country, and it's slowly getting to the point where even the most hardcore, you know, I would say the most dogmatic states that are ruled by theocracies are slowly beginning to turn back and away from their holy scripts and enter a more modern age, even if it's very slowly. Every day is getting a little bit better with regard to that.
Yeah.
I would say, as far as like good news, for example, we have like Saudi Arabia just finally let women be able to drive there not too long ago. That was about like this month.
That's true. It's coming around. It's very slow, and there we lose a few steps to those going forward. But the conversation has been engaged. You can't go on Facebook and not find it anymore. There's, especially if you join groups like I do, you know, atheist versus Christian, atheist versus believers or theists or whatever. The conversation is hot and heavy, and it's going on right now. And if you don't believe it, jump in there. And
If we're recommending Facebook groups, let me recommend one that's all about conversations.
Okay.
It's the Street Epistemology. Street Epistemology Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Street Epistemology is just a method of talking to people about what they may strongly believe and doing it in a way where you can gently challenge what they believe without turning the conversation into a debate or an argument or getting someone defensive.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a really positive way of having conversations with people. Mm-hmm. Ideally with strangers, it works amazingly well. And I've tried it literally out of the blue just for fun because I didn't think it would work. It totally does. And it's been all I've been doing for like the last 3 months. I got a whole phone full of conversations that I've had with people who kindly agreed to be recorded.
We'll have to bring them back and do a show about them. Have to do a show.
Oh, man. Yeah. I keep telling myself I gotta compile these things and put them together, but it's just so much easier to record than it is to edit everything together.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something.
We're down to 1 minute before I got to do the outro.
It's possible
to
do it, and if you want to know more about it, go on Facebook.com or just Google Street Epistemology Facebook. You'll find a lot of cool things.
Street Epistemology. Go there. Do that. And that's about all time we have today. I'm going to play a little outro. But my final words, as usual, is don't worry about going to hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to sweat it is when they prove that hells and souls and heavens are real. Live this life. It's the only one you know you have. And that's it for this Wednesday. And we'll be out of here. We'll be back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock at WOZO Radio, 103.9 LP FM. Live here in Knoxville. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.